Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And our subject this morning is the folly of forgetting judgment. The folly or the foolishness of forgetting judgment. Now, these are the words of King Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we've spoken much about King Solomon in previous evangelistic messages. Lived and reigned, roughly speaking, around 950 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the son of King David, and Solomon was a great king. He was a prosperous king over Israel. He was a wise king. That was his greatest attribute. Remember, he was wise. God gave him wisdom, and he was world renowned for that wisdom. And in this book of Ecclesiastes, well, we see much of the wisdom of King Solomon. Now, we believe it was written toward the end of his life. And the king is looking back over his life and is reflecting upon his life. He's drawing conclusions about life, sharing the lessons that he has learned from life, so that we may be made wise. We who are the readers may be made wise to these things. He's passing his wisdom down to those who will read these things, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit. And so when we read these things, we have to think very much about what they may mean and how we can learn from them. And there is so much to learn, but our focus, of course, is on this ninth verse. And there is so much in these things, but specifically one thing that we will focus on. But let's read this verse. I'll read halfway before I get to the end. But this verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Now, specifically, a young man is being addressed here. King Solomon says, rejoice, O young man. But these words can apply to anyone who has plenty of strength and energy and life in them. It's not necessarily just young men that these words apply to, but people who have their lives still ahead of them and are in good health and so on. But when we read these words initially, just before I move on, well, we may think to ourselves, this is great. These words are great. King Solomon is teaching, and the Bible is teaching us, that we can just do what we want. We can let our hearts cheer us in the days of our youth. We can walk in the ways of our own hearts and in the sight of our own eyes. Well, this is wonderful. We've never heard this before. The Bible teaches we can do just what we want. But is that true? Well, the last few words of that verse change the sense dramatically. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, yes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And that changes the sense of it, doesn't it? Quite dramatically. That changes the whole focus of the verse. King Solomon speaks of judgment. And well, we must not forget judgment. A large number of Christians, and I say this very often, seem to have forgotten all about judgment. An increasing number of churches, they never mention judgment. And they're, well, perhaps it's not surprising, because we live in a world that doesn't like judgment. We live particularly in this society. Well, this society likes to present itself as a non-judgmental society. We're all very tolerant, we're all very liberal. To pass judgment on somebody, that's possibly the worst evil you can ever do. We don't pass judgment. And that's why people reject the Christian faith. Oh, it's a religion of judgment. And the churches, well, they've by and large ceased to preach about judgment, or are very ashamed of it, and are very fearful of speaking about judgment. But we must speak about judgment, no matter how unpopular it is, because judgment is in the Bible. Of course it is. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about judgment very often. The apostles spoke about judgment very often. The professing church for 2,000 years has spoken very often about judgment. So we are not at liberty to cease speaking and preaching about judgment. And indeed, well, I can put it to you that this is perhaps the greatest reason why we preach the gospel, why we urge people to be Christians. Why do we want people to be Christians? Is it because we want them to join a club? No, of course not. There are plenty of clubs you can join. Is it because we want people to be religious? No. There are many religions you can join and be religious. That's not the reason we want you to be Christians, to be saved. The reason we preach the gospel is because there's a judgment coming. That's the great reason. There's a judgment coming. And we must be prepared for that. And Christ is the only way that we can stand in the day of judgment. You take the judgment out of Christianity, why are we even preaching anything? But we have to preach Christianity, the gospel, Christ, because there is a judgment coming. And so we have to mention these things very often. And well, the judgment is for all people. That's what the Bible teaches. It's for all people. It's not just for believers. It's for unbelievers also. Doesn't matter whether you're religious or you believe in God or anything, there will still be a judgment for every single one of us. And this is a great certainty. Well, even at the end of this book, in chapter 12 and verse 14, well, the conclusion that King Solomon brings to us is, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's his great conclusion. Every work will be judged. In the New Testament also, well, it is written in the letter to the Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Judgment in the Old Testament, judgment in the New Testament. An appointment we cannot cancel. Every single one of us in this room will be judged by God. The Apostle Paul said, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, of course, this is when it will happen. The judgment will happen when Christ will return. That's what the scriptures teach. Christ will return one day. Christ who is God. Christ who is equal with the Father. The second person of the Trinity. We know these things very well. I and my Father are one. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Well, one day he will return, coming in the glory of the Father, upon the clouds with the heavenly angels. And well, the whole world, the living and the dead, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and will be judged. That's the plain and clear teaching of Scripture. Christ will come, and then the whole world will go to judgment then. And so, well, we have to think about what this means for us. What Solomon is telling us in these words is that if we live in the light of the coming judgment, well, then it changes everything. Changes everything that we do or say. It brings a new sense of meaning to life. When you know that there's a judgment, it actually brings meaning to your life. We realize that life is not meaningless. There are so many people in this world, they think that life is ultimately meaningless. Oh yes, we get up, we go to work, we have our duties, our responsibilities, our families and so on, but ultimately life is just meaningless. There's no real purpose, there's no bigger picture that anybody has to take any notice of. That's what people think. Nothing really matters at the end of the day. Life is meaningless. And so many people believe that. But the Bible says the opposite. When you realize that there's a judgment coming, then everything actually has meaning. Everything has significance. Everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you say will be judged by God. Suddenly your life has meaning, has significance. Nothing is insignificant. Everything that you do is noted by God. And that brings tremendous meaning to your life. In fact, well, you will have to answer to God for all these things. Your eternity depends upon these things. This is the meaning of life. Everything that we do in this life has an impact on where we will spend eternity. That's the meaning. And we have to embrace this meaning and understand it. We shouldn't have this careless attitude to life that so many people have. This anything goes attitude. This uninhibited attitude. I can do whatever I want. And there will be no consequences. There will be nothing to answer for. My life is just for me. You can't have that attitude when you know there's a judgment at the end of your life. You can't have it. And so, dear friends, we must be alive to all these things. When we know and understand that there is a judgment coming, it gives our life meaning. And well, Christ, as I mentioned earlier, he is the only way we can get through the judgment. The only way we can stand. We can't get through on our own. This we repeat so often. When you stand before God, you won't be able to stand on your own. God is going to judge us by a holy standard, a high standard, a perfect standard. That's how God is going to judge us. He is a holy God without sin. And he is going to judge us by a perfectly high and holy standard. Are you perfect? Are you a perfect person? Have you never stolen anything in your life? Have you never lusted after somebody, even in your heart? Have you never told a lie? Have you never got angry against somebody without a cause? Well, I think we can all say that we have done those things. We have committed those sins. None of us are perfect. And you know, the other thing that we have to mention is we have to be perfect from cradle to the grave. Your whole life has to be perfect. You can't start halfway through your life. You can't leave this building and say, right, from now on I'm going to be perfect. You've blown it already. God requires a perfect life from cradle to the grave. That's his standard. And none of us can reach that standard except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need him. He is the only one who meets that standard. He is the incarnate God. God and man, 100% God, 100% man, born in Bethlehem to the Virgin Mary and lived for 33 years on this earth. But in all those 33 years, he knew no sin. Absolutely no sin at all. Of course not. He was God. He cannot sin. The incarnate God. He was perfectly righteous in the sight of God, perfectly fulfilling the law of God. So we need his righteousness. If we are to stand in the judgment, we need his righteousness. And that's what you get when you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Christ. You trust in him. Well, his righteousness becomes your righteousness. It is imputed to us. And that's the only way you're going to be able to stand in the judgment that we must all face one day. It's the only way. And Christ, well, without Christ, we must have Christ in the judgment, because Christ is the only way we can avoid punishment on the day of judgment. The only way we can avoid punishment. Anybody who stands before God without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be punished by God because of their sins. They will be punished. God must punish sin. God is not only a holy God, he's a God of justice. He must punish sin if he is to be just. It's like a judge in a court of law. A judge, if he is being just, he must pass sentence on a criminal. He can't just let a criminal go off scot-free. He has to punish that transgression of the law. And that's the same with God. He is a just God and he must punish sin. But a Christian will not be punished. A Christian will not. Why? Because he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ has already taken his punishment for him. On the cross at Calvary, that's what he did. He went to the cross to take upon himself the punishment for his people, so that we may be forgiven all our sin, so that there would be no condemnation for us. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say he is the only way to God. The only way to God. Why? Because he's the only one who's taken the punishment for our sin. And God must punish sin. It's very simple. The only way that we can be made right with God. And these things, well, I hope you understand them. We preach them so often. But needless to say, and this is the great tragedy of the human nature, needless to say, even though people know that there is a day of judgment, even though we preach these things, people always ignore it. That's the way of the human heart. When the preacher here, Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, says that we walk in the ways of our own heart, well, our hearts are against God. And our natural reaction when we hear about judgment, well, we just ignore it. We just forget all about it. We continue to go our own way. And you know, one of the interesting things that comes out of this verse and is seen throughout Scripture is that God will let you go your own way. God will let you go your own way. That's what we see in the Scriptures. If you are determined to turn away from God and to follow your own way, to follow your own life, God will let you go that way. God is not going to force you to come to him against your will. He's not going to force you. He's going to let you go your way. It's like he says to you, if you want to go your way, well, go on. That's your choice. That's your will. I'm not going to force you. You want to live your life without me, walking in the ways of your own heart, walking according to your own way? Well, go on then. God lets you. But we all have to remember that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You still won't escape the judgment. You can go your whole life without God, living the life of Riley, doing whatever you want. But for all these things, God will still bring you to judgment. So what are you going to do? Are you going to live your life your own way as a fool? Living so many years without God? Well, God will bring you into judgment for that. You'll stand at the end of time and you'll have to be judged for your unbelief, for your rejection of him, for you're living your entire life without him. God will bring you into judgment for that. So if you want to, well, go on. God won't stop you. But the wise way that King Solomon shows us, you must come to the Lord. You must repent. You must be saved and know the salvation of our God. And we've just got time to look at verse 10 and as we draw to conclusion, because these words are very important to us. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Put away evil from thy flesh. God calls us each one to repentance, to turn to him. You cannot have the world, you cannot have your own way and God. You have to have one or the other. But we put away evil from our flesh and we seek God. That's repentance. That's how we turn to the Lord. And that is a joyous thing to do. Some people think of repentance, oh, that's so horrible, I hate that word. But it's a wonderful thing to do. It removes sorrow from our hearts. The first part of verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. To turn to God, it's a joyous thing. I remember, and I'm sure I've shared this illustration or this this actual event that happened to me. I used to know somebody, a young lady, who, she wasn't a believer. She was somebody, as King Solomon describes, she was full of life. She was in the days of her youth. She walked in the ways of her own heart. She was not a believer. But I remember I had time one day to tell her about my faith, to tell her about how the Lord Jesus Christ had saved me. And I remember looking at her, and you could tell there was sorrow in her heart. There were tears in her eyes. There was sorrow in her heart, because she knew that she didn't know the Lord. She knew that she didn't have that faith. She knew that she wasn't saved. She knew that she didn't have a spiritual life. She knew that all she had were the empty promises of this world. She didn't have that higher life, that eternal life. She knew that, and she felt sorrow about it. She was sorrowful. There was grief in her heart. And that's what it is to live without God. Yes, you may outwardly put on a good front, oh, I'm wonderful without God, but within your heart there is sorrow. Because you don't know the Lord, your Creator, your Father in heaven. You don't have that faith. You don't know what it is to pray to God and to have your prayers answered. You don't know what it is to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Yes, you may put on a good front, but there's sorrow within. So if you just turn to God, come and confess your sin to the Lord. Just fall before him. And say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know there is a judgment. And the only way that I may stand is through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Give me that faith in him. Give me that faith. Work in me and change me. That's how we come to the Lord. And all your sorrow will be taken away. God will give you joy and peace that you've never known before. Eternal life, and you will never regret it. This is the glory of the gospel. This is why King Solomon says these things to us, so that we'll be wise, not fools in our lives. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. God is not willing that any should perish in the judgment, but that all should come to repentance and faith. There is time. We don't know how long there is left. Many people think these are the very last days, and it may well be so. Christ may return even in your lifetime. So come today. Seek him today, and he will receive you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God and our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, how we thank thee for the word of God, how we thank thee for the wisdom of God, how we thank thee that we can preach thy word, and oh dear Lord, we pray that each and every one of us will respond to it, dear Lord. Work in us, give us spiritual life, take away foolishness and unbelief from our cold and stony hearts. Oh, dear Lord, may we approach thee, may we seek thee, may we cry out unto thee, knowing that there is that great and coming day of judgment, and all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, dear Lord, may we fear, and may we call upon thee for salvation, and may each and every one of us be saved. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name, and for his sake, amen.